the kingdom of heaven and of God and how to get in. That's the message today. Notice I said the kingdom of heaven and of God, because so often strong distinctions are made between them, but I will show you that the Savior doesn't make that distinction. I'll read you the verse before I read you from chapter 11. Listen to this. Verily I say unto you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You say, well, the Savior says, what's the kingdom of heaven and what's the kingdom of God? He's talking about the same sphere. But now, in Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Notice those two time frames. Look at verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist. So here is John the Baptist, and from those days up until when Christ is speaking. And it says in verse 13, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And so you have the time period before John, and then you have the time period from John. Verse 14, and if you are willing to receive it, this is Elijah that is to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the marketplaces who call unto their fellows and say, we piped unto you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And wisdom is justified by her children, by her works. Now, look at Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. From that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and every man entereth violently into it. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that you would have to occupy our minds during the absence of thy Son, about how life is, about the difficulties of getting into the kingdom, about heaven, about the relief that thy Son gives. Father, let us know that our lives can be thrilled with all these truths that you have to teach us, and we will never comprehend them all until Christ comes. And then you will be teaching us throughout eternity the riches of thy grace in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the life that is now ours in this world and in the world to come. And we are together this morning to fulfill the command of thy Son that if we love him, his lambs and his sheep are to be fed. And we would feed them with the true word of God. We thank you for the scriptures. Let us know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that is our conviction and that is our foundation. That is why we read from the word and we trust it and we preach it. Because only thy word is true. So so make these things that are truth, truth to us. Whether we believe them or not, they are true. And whatever thou hast said, whether we believe it or not, it is going to happen. But help us to understand and have the mind of Christ and to let thy word rule in our hearts and in our lives. So we look to thee this morning for good. You know our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. And prepare hearts to receive the good seed of the word of God and empower lips, because apart from thee, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. Hear us, we pray. In the name of thy dear Son, we ask it, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. There was something about John the Baptist in last week's message, and there is something about it in this message as well, and there is a similarity between the two. And the similarity is this. Last week I told you about somebody who might be tempted to put new wine into old wineskin. The Lord said, you won't do that. If you do, the skins and the wine will both perish. But you put new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. You say, old wine and old wineskin, and new wine and new wineskin. What does that have to do with what you read to us today? The old wine and wineskin is this. The law and the prophets were until John. That's the old economy. The law and the prophets were until John. Here is the old wineskin. Here is the old wine. Now, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God is preached and men enter violently into it. Notice, up until the time of John the Baptist, the old wine, the old wineskins. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the new wine in new wineskins. But the temptation was when men had drunk the old their whole life long, and now for the first time they are hearing about the new, they shake their heads and say, the old is better. The Lord Jesus is seeking to explain these things to them. And he tells them that the Old Testament and the law shall not always be prophesying. Why? What if God gave prophecies, 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 and they were never fulfilled? You say, well, a prophecy is prophesied to be fulfilled. Why, of course it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. She shall bring forth a child. That's the prophecy. And it says that Mary was the virgin, and she brought forth the Lord Jesus. Prophecies are to be fulfilled. It speaks about, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and lowly, riding upon a donkey, and so forth. And then the Lord Jesus rides into Jerusalem upon that donkey. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Whenever you have a prophecy, that is the old, and when it is fulfilled in the portions that we are reading, that is the new. The Old Testament prophesied the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the kingdom of God. And now the Lord Jesus, the king, is here. And he tells you the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so that's something new. You have the old prophets, the old law, that's the old wine and old wineskins, but they prophesied, and now, having prophesied, they have done their duty, they have fulfilled what God put them in the scriptures for, but you do not keep harping back to the prophecies when the fulfillment is at hand. How strange if the prophecy said your king comes to thee, meek and lowly, riding upon a donkey, and now the Lord Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, but men say, we're not interested in his riding into Jerusalem. We're interested in studying that prophecy about The king comes riding on a donkey, meek and lowly. You say, that's absurd. It's all right to study the old and the prophecies to understand what's going to happen, but when the prophecy is fulfilled, then it's a prophecy. It is past in the sense that it has been fulfilled, and now we look on its fulfillment. And that is what God would have us to understand. But some are unable to understand that, and they would put new wine into old wineskins, and that is going to destroy everything. And so today, the Lord is saying, this is the time of fulfillment. This is when prophecies are not prophesying, but it's when prophecies are being fulfilled. The long-awaited kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what John the Baptist preached, and that is what the Lord Jesus Christ preached. Having introduced it that way, the Lord tells us something else about this kingdom of heaven and of God. He tells us that now it suffers violence, and men of violence take it by force, and as it's expressed in the other gospel, it said men enter violently into it. So here, the law and the prophets prophesying the coming of the kingdom, but from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached. It's not prophesied now, it's preached, it's here. And it says, men violently enter into it. It's taken by violence. What does that mean? Well, evidently, it is something that was true then, but I do not see it being true today. Do you think that we have to lock the doors to keep people out because our place is so filled here? You say, we would throw the doors wide open to get them in. And so they're not violently attacking the gospel chapel here, trying to get in to hear the truth. You say, no, we thank God for a mercy drop here and there. Amen. But when Christ was on earth and he was healing and preaching, it says there were so many people round about him, they had to tear up the roof to get the sick man into the presence of Christ to be healed. And the Lord Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You say, what a time in which to live. Men violently trying to come to Christ, trying to receive the blessings of the promised Messiah when he's on earth. Yes, and that's what happened at the first. But let me ask you this. Have you seen men violently doing it today? You say, no. Think. And this is what I am thinking about. If we had all of these vast meetings and did not have all the publicity and all the prodding to get people to come, I wonder how many would come voluntarily because of their love for Christ. However they get people to hear the gospel, I thank God as long as it's not against the scripture. But here in Christ's day, they saw the kingdom of God and of heaven, and they violently took it, and they violently entered into it. And that is what we have prayed for here in the gospel chapel, that some would be attracted some way to enter into the kingdom of God, but there are so few who want to. And there are so few who want to know the way of God more perfectly. If there was a passing interest in the truth of God, well, that's something. And at the same time, if a man says, I would like to know a little bit more about the Bible, why, that's startling. But at this time, remember, the kingdom of heaven was suffering violence, and men of violence took it by force. And that is how thrilling it was in the days of John the Baptist, when it was announced, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, all Jerusalem and Judea came out to be baptized with John. Now you had those that rejected it, that scorned the preaching of John the Baptist, but you have great multitudes coming because it is not prophecy now, the law and the prophets prophesying until John, but Now that John is here, the kingdom of heaven and of God is preached, and John preaches it, and the apostles preach it, and the Lord Jesus preaches it, and as they preach it, multitudes come. Remember, when he fed the 5,000, there were 5,000, not including women and children, that were listening to him preach. So, think of this. And also, even though their motive was base, when the Lord Jesus crossed the Lake of Galilee, it says they got in the boats and they sought him. They were going to find him. And also it says that after he fed them, when they saw that miracle, they were going to come and take him by force to make him king. So there is a good kind of force and there is a bad kind of force. If because you have eaten the loaves and you've been filled with food and you want to make Christ king, that's bad. But at the same time, if by God's grace you are determined to be saved, no matter how many the obstacles are, if you are determined to take by force the kingdom and enter into it, then that is good. And this is the way that I take the passages that I've read to you today. Because while we are saved by grace through faith, there is not one work that a man performs to get into the kingdom of God. All the work has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as helpless sinners, we call upon the name of the Lord and we are saved. All of that kind of work and salvation is provided for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to understand other things about salvation. Not the divine side, but the manward side. And the Lord Jesus is telling us about the manward side of salvation. Now, listen to some verses about entering the kingdom of heaven and of God. Listen to what he says in Matthew 6. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness." And so we are to seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. But in Mark, it says, "Except ye receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall in no wise enter in." Now that's most important. Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall in no wise enter in. And so the receiving is tantamount to entering in. But in Matthew it says, "Seek the kingdom of God." Seek kingdom of heaven. But in Mark, it says, receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And then we come to Luke, and this is most important. The Savior says, strive to enter in at the narrow gate. Strive to enter in, yes. Because this is the part of man when the Spirit of God draws that he does everything in his power to enter in. And all that he does and all the effort that he expends is not earning salvation. It is simply coming to the point where he, as a strengthless sinner, will receive it as a gift from God. But it requires ever so much striving, as we shall see. And then in Luke 16, it says about the kingdom of heaven, men entering violently into it. And this is what it says in John's Gospel. Listen. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, that's remarkable. You've given me five scriptures, and all of them talk about entering into the kingdom of God. And no two of them are exactly alike. This is why you have to know God's Word as a whole. As a sinner, the only thing you have to know is that the kingdom of heaven must be entered into, and it's entered into by faith. The kingdom of heaven is a free gift. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is a gift from God. Salvation is a free gift. But I can assure you that if Satan has anything to do with it, you will have to exert all the energy and all the determination that is within your power, or you'll never get it. And this is what some people refuse to acknowledge. But you'll find that God says it must be acknowledged. When the Savior went forth, he was the sower, he went forth and he sowed seed, and it said some seed fell on rocky places. Well, why didn't God take those rocks out before he sowed the seed? And it said some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked the word. Well, why didn't God take those thorns away before he sowed the seed? Because that's not the way he does it. He sows the seed, and then he is determined, once he sows the seed, and he draws you by his Spirit, that you must strive to enter in. That you must, on your part, yield to the command of God. It says, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. And if the Lord took away all obstacles, why, there would be nothing to salvation. In some cases, it seems that way. Think of Lydia. Lydia was by the riverside. And it says, the word of God was preached, and God opened her heart. And she received Christ as Savior. But it's not always that way. Later on in that chapter, the Philippian jailer had cast Paul and Silas into prison, and there was nothing of tenderness that was going to make him receive the kingdom. But God took an earthquake and shook the prison doors open. It took a literal earthquake to bring this man to his senses. And then he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So do not think that because at times salvation is such a simple thing, that men say, yes, I understand, I take Christ as Savior. You must understand that some, as John Bunyan and others, strive for years to enter in, and temptations pull them back, and they fail to understand, and false doctrine is thrown at them. All of these things are involved in being saved. And finally, after striving, and after violently being determined by God's grace to enter in, then they get in. Because I promise you this, that if you are determined at all costs to enter the kingdom of God and of heaven, nothing can keep you out. The Philippian jailer was ready to commit suicide, but God knew that he wanted to get in. And Paul said, Do thyself no harm. And he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? There is nothing that can keep you out of the kingdom of God if you are determined by God's grace to get in. But at the same time, there is nothing can get you into the kingdom of God if you, without God's grace, are determined to get in. Now, look at the Pharisees and the scribes striving, doing everything in their power to merit salvation and get in. They'll never get in. They fast twice in the week. They give tithes of all that they possess. They live a life that's separate from sin, and they think that's going to get them in. They can strive. They can exert with violence all the powers of the flesh to get into the kingdom, and they'll never get in. But at the same time, once God tells you the way of salvation, he expects you to exert all of your power and the will that he has enabled you to exercise favorably toward the gospel. You must exert all the strength and power that you have to get in, or else you will never get in. That's why he says, strive to enter in by the narrow door. Because, let me show you what happens. When the seed is sown, and this is what God does, when the seed is sown, he does not remove the obstacle, but he sows the seed in the midst of the obstacles, and then he says, Now, trust my son. Receive him as Savior. And if you are willing to do it, then you'll get in. If not, you won't. But think of this, first of all. You will see that socially, it might cost you all the friends that you had. Like the blind man in John chapter 9. What if it meant your father and mother forsaking you if you were going to trust Christ as Savior? Would you trust him as Savior? You say, I don't know. This is what the father and mother of that blind man did. They knew that if anybody trusted Christ as Savior, They were going to be put out of the synagogue. And so here is their son. Think. Their dear son who had been born blind, and now he has his sight. And they go and ask the parents, is this your son? How were his eyes open? And they're not going to say one word about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because if we do, they'll put us out of the synagogue. You see what happens? That's why you have to strive to enter in. That's why, with all your power, you have to exert your determination to free yourself from these things that hold you back. Your father and mother say, listen, do you know the step you're going to take? It means that they will excommunicate you. And if we confess that what has happened is true, and the man that opened your eyes, they'll excommunicate us. We're having nothing to do with you. This man was determined at all costs. He was going to strive to enter in. And by God's grace, he did enter in. And what happened? It says, when he stood up with the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, what is the matter with you? He said, here is the marvel. Don't you understand if this man were not of God, he could do nothing? And they said, you were altogether born in sins. And they cast him out. When they cast him out, Jesus found him. Now that's the consolation. But this man strove. This man took his stand, and thank God, he entered the kingdom. But if he had listened to his father and mother, he wouldn't have entered in. He would have had nothing to do with Jesus. He would have been glad to have his eyesight restored. But then, say nothing about Jesus. I don't know who did it. I can't tell you. I've got to get out of here. But the man was determined to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's so sad. Ostracism. Excommunication. That is something as to why men violently enter into the kingdom. All right. Here is social rejection, but now there is also economic costs if you trust Christ as Savior. The rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus and said he wanted to have eternal life. And the Savior said, good. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the man said, I can't do this. And his countenance fell, and he went away. And so that man was not prepared to strive to enter in, even though God told him the way of salvation. And he knew that unless he would renounce these material things, that they had him in chains. It wasn't renouncing them that would give him eternal life. But the Lord Jesus knew that they had enchained him, and that he would never trust Christ unless he was determined to give up these things to choose Christ. The Apostle Paul said, the things that were gained to me, I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and do count them but dung. And the Lord Jesus says, do you count them but dung, that you might have eternal life and treasure in heaven? And the man said, no, I am keeping these possessions. Now isn't that sad? That treasures can keep a man from Christ, but they do. Here is the world. I see this, and I'm an older man, but even as a younger man, I thought it so strange. The way people used to dress, the hairdos, the makeup, all of the things, the fashions of the world. And I see people today, the way women that can be attractive, the way that they fix their hair, and the men that could have had some hairdos, the ridiculous way that they do it. And I've seen also, and we laugh at it, but it's the world, it's the power. I've seen attractive looking shoes, but now I've seen the sorriest, sloppiest looking shoes, and if they're great big things that have shoelaces hanging, oh, they're in, you see. And it used to be that you were neat, but now, if you wear clothes that look like they fell into a bottle of Clorox and came out with spots. Well, that's the end thing, you see, to look neat. You can't do that. You say, well, is that important? It has you in its grip. You remember that. All the young people, they would do anything to be accepted. To look like a man or woman of God. Why, I can't do that. Why, what would those that are my peers, what would my friends say to me? Well, I was unsaved and I didn't care what they said to me. I looked at their clothing and I saw it was absurd, and the way they talked and what they did as a sinner, and I saw it was absurd. But the world has that power, and it says concerning Demas, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and hath departed unto Thessalonica. You see, the world called Demas, and he forsook Paul. And then there are women. Women, oh yes. Here is Herod, and it's his birthday, and Herodias' daughter is dancing. And when she gets through dancing, he's so pleased, he says, ask for anything, I'll give you the half of my kingdom. And her mother puts her up to asking, give me the head of John the Baptist. And he was so sorrowful at that saying. But, because of his oath, he sent and had John the Baptist beheaded. Do you see what women can do? Need I tell you about Samson in the Old Testament? But here is Herod in the New Testament. And rather than accept the preaching of John the Baptist, because he talked to him, he listened to him, and John the Baptist said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. And he didn't like that, but he knew that John had the message of truth. But here is a woman in his life. And so he let this woman take him and destroy him and keep him from entering violently into the kingdom. Now, had he entered violently into the kingdom, it would have been the rejection of this woman. I'm not going to have that man put to death, you wicked, vile sinner. No, I see what's in your heart. I'm not having that woman put to death. And at the same time, the rich young ruler could say, all of these things that were so valuable to me, they are nothing if I have treasure in heaven and the joy of following you. And father and mother, I want you to trust Christ as Savior as well. So here is what the Lord says. He says that now the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and men violently enter into it. And so for those who say, if I'm going to be saved, I will be saved, they will never get saved. And all of you who say, well, you don't have to do anything to get saved. Everything is done by God. I tell you that you are contradicting the teachings of the scriptures that the Savior gives us in Luke 13 and Luke 16 and Matthew 11. And though there is a bad sense, there is a good sense, and that's the way we take it, of entering violently into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the world will put forth all its violence and Satan will put forth all his power to dissuade you from entering that kingdom. And if you do not exert all of your power, then God will not enable you to get into that kingdom. But if you are determined, as the Savior says, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. If when the Father draws you, you will, you are determined by God's grace to get in, then nothing can keep you out. But I promise you this, that if you are not determined to exert all your power to get in, God may very well let you stay out. Why? Because he lets the birds come and snatch up the seed sown in your heart. He lets the stones stay there, and he lets the thorns grow. But for those who are determined by God's grace to be saved, nothing can keep you out. This is what the Savior said. How hard is it for a man that is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciple said, who then can be saved? He said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I assure you that God has done everything that he can justly to get you into the kingdom. Now, strive, do all in your power to heed his drawing and enter in. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we could wish that salvation would be of a different nature, it would not be so hard, and yet thou hast made it this way. We could wish that salvation would be without your Son suffering in agony on the cross, but there is no salvation apart from the shedding blood. And thou hast told us that you command men everywhere to repent. Lord, we thank you for all the obstacles that you lead in our way when we hear your command. We are thankful that there is a decision that must be made, a choice. So, as it was in the days of John the Baptist, the whole city, Judea, came out to hear, and they violently entered in. They were determined at all costs to enter the kingdom of heaven. We pray, Father, that it shall be true concerning us, and that we shall go and tell men, and let them understand what is necessary to enter God's kingdom. So hear us, and work in our midst, and bless us, and let us see souls saved, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.